a portion of scripture that was found in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about Jesus coming. Then cometh Jesus. I'm gonna look at the Palm Sunday a little different way than normally do. I think that sometimes we take this historical account and don't really understand it. This is the tremendous, tremendous proof that this was Jesus Christ. Beyond a shadow of doubt, these people should have realized that this was the Christ. Because the prophets had told about that. He will come. And he will ride on the colt of an ass. And they were told that. You know, I was thinking this morning, I was telling some of you folks this morning, for thousands of years, they have been looking for the Jeshua Yamashiach. They were looking for Jesus Christ. They were looking for the Messiah. You name it, every Jewish girl that had not known a man, she always hoped that she would be the carrier of the Christ child. In fact, when I was a young man in high school and college, I remember meeting a couple of Jewish girls, and they were discussing that. And they really had that hope that the Messiah would come from them. And that was a thrill. That was excitement they had. And throughout history, they've been looking for one who would come. Clear back in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that God would send one. And so they're looking. And literally, here he comes. He is on the colt of an ass, and he's coming into the city. And, I mean, you talk about the writing on the wall. They should have said, oh, I get it now. But they didn't get it. And many Christians today, they read this scripture and they say, I don't know, how did they ever miss it? How did they ever miss that? But I meet a lot of Christians today don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And they go about their lives year after year. Well, we made another year. This morning I got up kind of dazed and wobbling around this morning. I thought, well, made another week. Amen. And some of you know what I mean. Some of you have been there. You know how it is. You know, just, well, I made it one more week. Amen. I know Mrs. Talmadge's birthday is coming up on April 1st. And she's going to be 90. Made it another year. Amen. And what an amazing thing. I remember my dad say, hey, you know, he says, once he turned 70, he'd say, well, I cheated the Grim Reaper out of one more year, amen. He made it 91. But so many times we have people that just don't get it. They just, you know, Jesus is coming back. If you cannot see that today, you're blind. You haven't been reading your Bible. You don't believe the Word of God. And so this morning I want to talk to you about, then he cometh. I thought of a number of people that Jesus Christ had met. And when Jesus Christ came to them, it changed their life completely. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, would you do your work today? Help us, Lord, be so excited about you coming back. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptizer was baptizing the River Jordan. And he's preaching and preparing the people for who? The coming Messiah. He said, I'm not here, but I'm the one that's preparing the way for him. And Jesus said, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. And the great God of heaven was promised to come according to the Old Testament scriptures that would save the Israelites from their sin. I want to make note that it was to save them from their sins. Listen to the mighty prophet out in the wilderness as he lifts his mighty voice and preaches one that would come. Now listen when he sees Jesus Christ. Listen as he cries, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He pointed him out. He said, there he is. Notice when Jesus comes and he's coming down the road and a blind man realizes it is the Christ. Listen to his cries, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. I want you also to look at the reaction of the crowd. The reaction of the crowd really fascinates me. Listen to the reaction to the world. They try to shut him up. Boy, isn't that the way the world does? Yeah. Try to shut him up. They try to keep him from getting the attention of the Christ, who was the only hope this man had this side of heaven to see again. And I wrote in my note, what's new? The world has always tried its best to keep anyone and everyone from coming to the Christ. The world told him to shut up, keep quiet, don't be so radical. And I was thinking of that. I thought, hey, they have nothing to lose. They can see. They can walk to their house. They can put their key into their door. They can walk in the house and not stub their toe and fall down and fall in the ditch. They have all their faculties about them. But here's a man that's really in need. And he needs Jesus. And they push him away. Oh, by the way, then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. And he received his sight. There's some people in this world trying to push you away from Jesus. I'm telling you what. You just ignore them. And just go on searching and seeking for Jesus. Amen. I think of the one that came, that gave his sight. Jesus Christ. Third, I think of the account of the father and mothers bringing their babies and children to Jesus. What did the world do? They shoved them away. They told them Jesus was too busy. I heard somebody tell me the other day, he said, well, Jesus is too busy to hear my prayers. You're an idiot. Jesus is not busy. He wants to hear our prayers. He tells us to pray always without ceasing. God wants to hear your prayers. God wants to hear what you have to say. God wants to hear your love to Him. They told him that Jesus was too busy. Well, glory to God. Then came Jesus. Jesus said, hey, bring them here. I love this. And Jesus touched them. Hey, Brother Rick, you just got a little guy named Blake. Marcus and Anthony. Are you kidding me? When Jesus comes in, don't you? I'm sure, Mama. If not you, man, you'd be pushing in there, trying to elbow your way in there, get them to Jesus, amen. You want to sit on Jesus' lap? You want to get them everything that Jesus gives them? Hey, that's the way we Christians ought to be. We ought to send our children to Jesus, amen, and say, Lord, please touch them, please use them. I mean, I'm not talking about when the kids are sick. I'm not talking about they're all scarred up. I'm not talking about they're all beat up. I'm talking when they're just good and happy and send them to Jesus, amen. Nicodemus, probably the greatest religious man in the world at the time of Jesus Christ. I love his story. He was a Pharisee and the ruler of the Jews, the Bible said. A religious ruler that spent his lifetime learning the Holy Scriptures, keeping the holy rules, abiding by all the regulations of the Jewish religion. But he found something missing. And by the way, you can be the most religious person in this world, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going to find something missing. You can do the stages of the cross. You can pray your beads. You can do anything you want. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to be lacking. There's just something gnawing at your heart. There's something you need. I'll tell you what it is. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is my Father.
Amen.
He found something missing in his life. Something missing in his walk. He came one lonely night to a lonely door to a very exceptional teacher. He called him a rabbi. One who spoke with the authority and spoke with brilliance. The teacher had taught by parables and performed many unbelievable miracles. No human had ever done anything like this, nor any human ever saw anything done like this. No one could explain away this Christ, and the synagogue was abuzz what this man was doing. Then he came to Jesus, and Nicodemus found what the true concept of eternal life truly was. It's good to know you're on your way to heaven. I asked a fellow the other day, I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I think so. You know, I think so. Another man said, I hope so. I thought of my mother many times witnessing to people, and she says, do you have insurance? And they'd say, yes. And she said, why did you buy the insurance? And they'd say, well, I want to protect myself from something that might happen. Then she said, why don't you have assurance? Because you are going to die. And there's going to be a day where you stand before the holy God of heaven. And if you have not confessed that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God, you will not have life and life everlasting. Are you going to die? Are you going to die? We don't know when we're going to die. But we're going to die. Some people have cancer. Some people go to hospice. Pretty much determined that that's the last step. Some people, you know, are about ready to take their last breath. But I'm going to tell you something. In the last couple of weeks in Cascade County, I will tell you, there's people that died, 22, 27-year-old, one 25-year-old, never thought they were going to die. Gone. Gone into eternity. So it's best to have Jesus come into your heart and you accept Him as your personal Savior and you have life everlasting. And when the day comes, you don't have to fear about heaven. Thank God for heaven. Amen. Thank God we have that hope. Thank God, new body. Thank God. Amen. Oh, man, we're going to really be going up there, brother, huh? His new body. Amen. Run around. You get up to heaven, you hear this. You say, what in the world is that? Oh, that's that preacher Shearer with wool socks on, sliding around on that pavement up. Amen. Here I go, man. Amen. I think of the Samaritan woman. She's at the well. Jesus Christ is sitting on the well. He's tired. He's thirsty. A woman comes to the well. And she met one who could answer all her questions of her troubled life. She said, are you married? Jesus said. She said, no. And Jesus said, no, you're not married, but you've been married to five guys and you're living with the guy now. Whoa. But that got her attention, amen? One day my wife and I, we lived over here at 4610 2nd Avenue North, and our neighbor lived down just a couple doors from us, and she came down to borrow some sugar or something. I don't know what it was. I think she just come see who we were, amen? And just moved in, and we got to talk to her, and I said, hey, can I ask you a question? If you died today, would you go to heaven? She said, oh, my. Oh, my, oh, my. She said, I've sinned so many times, God won't save me. Then I told her the story about this woman that had five, and she said, are you talking about Becky? I don't know who Becky it was, but I said, no, ma'am, I'm talking about the Bible. Oh, she said, amen. The Samaritan woman answered all the questions. Jesus answered all of them when he came. And he gave her life and the springs of living water that lasted her, that will last her for all eternity. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 26 to 35, we find a maniac, a crazy man, a lunatic, a man possessed of devils. There's a report of him by the town people that he would scream and cry all night and run naked in the graveyard. Well, that'd mess up your funeral service, wouldn't it? What was that? Boogada boogada, I don't know. He told that the city fathers tried to catch him and imprison him and tried to tie him up. And they tried to reason with him to no avail. He just kept streaking through the cemetery. It's kind of like America tries to do. Well, let's just start a new program. We'll fix those guys. We'll fix those girls that are crazy. You know what those people need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. They tried everything they could. They could not subdue him. They could not get him to stop his crazy actions. Then one day, cometh Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, verse 35, one of the sweetest verses in the Bible. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man. This is the maniac. Out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. That's what happens when you get saved, girls. You put your clothes on, amen. Clothed. In a right mind. And they were afraid. What in the world are you afraid? But you should have been afraid about this guy that's going through the, you know, running through the graveyard and cutting himself and screaming and yelling all night, driving you crazy. Scaring the daylights out of you. Now he is sitting in his right mind clothed and the Bible said they're afraid. Boy, the world is stupid, isn't it? Amen. Boy, we want to get Jesus in our classrooms. It might straighten a few things out. You got to be tolerant with us. Interesting. I've got to be tolerant with you, but you won't be tolerant with me. Explain that to me. Would you explain that to me? You want to cuss, you want to show your filthy pictures, you want to do all your junk, and you want to tell all your filthy jokes, and then when I say something, you say, hey, you ought to be tolerant of us. We want to love boys and boys and girls and girls. Are you out of your mind? Crazy! But don't you dare say anything about them, because they are not tolerant. They're intolerant of anything that's righteous. Have you found that out yet? And you want to be careful with your little children to teach them, because the school is saying you've got to be tolerant with the sodomites, and you've got to be tolerant with the drug user, and you've got to be tolerant with the alcohol users. You've got to be tolerant with them. But you let your little Susie bring her Bible to school, and I'll guarantee you they're not tolerant of that. I found out these people want you to be tolerant with them, but they really don't care about you. We sure got her messed up, don't we? They were afraid. Luke chapter 8, verse 41, 46, we find two helpless people. Two deeply troubled, helpless people coming to Jesus. With great problems. Let me ask you this. Do you have a great problem today? You have troubles? Do you know which way to turn? Then come with Jesus. Amen. This is what the Bible says. One was a ruler of the Jews. One was a ruler of the synagogue. Another woman had an illness for many years that she spent everything she had, and still she had this terrible disease. First, I want you to notice the ruler of the Jews, the ruler of the synagogue. Behold, there came a man, Jairus, named Jairus. And he was ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter. He had one only daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay a-dying. But he's went. The people thronged him. He's got trouble, doesn't he? Then there's a woman that had issued the blood. And she could do nothing, nor anybody else could help her. That's when you're really in trouble, amen? I can't fix it. I can't find somebody else to fix it. It's a good idea to go to heaven, amen? Good idea to go to the throne room and say, find mercy in time of need. Dear God, I can't fix this, and I can't find anybody else to fix this, so I know only you can fix it. That's when God can do some miracles. Amen? That's why he proved himself to us. Amen? Listen to this ruler. Jesus knew this lady had great faith. By faith she touched his garment. What happened? She was healed, amen. If I could just touch his, if I could just touch his robe. I can't live like this anymore. Hey, sometimes that's what we have to do. We just have to get the garment, Jesus. And to get the garment, Jesus, that means you got to get close, amen. And you can't get any closer than getting in prayer and in reading the Word of God, amen. Are you listening to me this morning? There's going to be a time that the only thing you can do is get a hold of his garment. The only time. You don't know which way to turn. The ruler of the synagogue was really in trouble because if anyone of the temple said any said the name of Jesus Christ, they would be excommunicated. You know, when a man gets desperate, he's willing to do anything. His daughter was next to dying. It's his only daughter. He needed help. The little daughter's very sick. I don't care about religion. All I care about my little daughter. Amen. As the Lord was dealing with the lady, news came that his daughter had died. I was so sad. I was reading that last night again. How sad. His little daughter died. And the servant said to his master, he says, don't bother the master. Amen. Oh, what a blow that must have been to the ruler's synagogue. His little daughter dead. Then tell Jesus, amen. You know, God's never in a hurry. He's always on time. Some things in your life you don't understand. Some things you're going through right now, you say, good night. I don't know which way I'm going to go. I mean, your head is like a bumblebee nest that some kid rocked it, amen? You don't know which way to turn. And all you can go to Jesus. Then come with Jesus. You may think that all your options in life are used up. Are you listening to me this morning? You may think, this is it. I'm stuck. I'll never get out. Let me tell you about my friend. His name is Jesus. The same Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, who did great and wonderful miracles then, is still alive and well, praised the Lord. He still is in the miracle working business. The word of the world wouldn't and didn't believe in him. And by the way, there's going to be a lot that won't believe in him today. But that doesn't mean he's not real. And that doesn't mean that he cannot take care of you and supply your needs and answer your prayers. That is nothing new. The old world said in Luke chapter 8, verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And I love this, and he put them out. Get out of here. And he took her by the hand, saying, made arise. And the Spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded them to give her meat. Sweet, sweet Jesus, amen. Then come with Jesus. I think of the disciples in the Sea of Galilee, fearing for their own lives. The great storm had overtaken them. Water was coming in. I mean to tell you, they're about to drown in that boat. Don't tell me they didn't scream to wake up Jesus. Lord, they cried, we perish. Then come with Jesus, and he spoke. Water's like a mirror. That's something we don't know much about in Montana here, do we? Mary and Martha, in their great grief, their brother was very sick. Send for the master. Hey, did you send for the master? Martha, did you send for the master? Yeah, I sent for him. He'll be here. He's never failed us yet. Jesus delayed his coming. We don't like those delays, do we?
No.
We want it right now. Flat out. Straight up. Now. But Jesus delays things to teach us something and teach others something. Why is this happening to me? We're really selfish, aren't we? We're really special, aren't we? Why would this happen to me? A while back I was thinking of some things that were going on in my life. And God really spoke to my heart. He said, "You remember your Uncle Ray?" I said, "Yeah." "You remember your Aunt Sarah?" "Oh, yes, Lord, I remember. My Aunt Sarah was a beautiful lady. Oh, my goodness. She was a knockout. Strawberry blonde. Cute, twinkle her eye, funniest thing on two wheels, amen. She had a wonderful family. But at the age of 50, she had a stroke. She couldn't walk. Couldn't talk. All her marbles rolled on her left side. And my Uncle Ray took care of her until she was 80-some years old. Who am I to complain?" Then God said, "Hey, how about your dad?" My dad and mom had just, my dad sold one of the farms, retired. They're going to do a lot of traveling. First year they traveled. Went out to the college that she graduated from. Just had a good time. Went out to Montana. Went out to South Dakota. To the Badlands. Saw the four presidents. Oh, were they having a good time. Went down to Florida. Mama started having a pain in her back. Doctor said, "Oh, it's just your sacroiliac," or whatever they call it. Sciatic nerve. "Did your sciatic nerve. Take an aspirin, it'll be okay." Didn't realize she had kidney cancer. It went all through her. She got bone cancer. Surgery. Finally said, "Okay, let's start the chemo." And she says, "No, we're not going there. I'm not taking red death." That's back years ago when they used to be red. Tears, my dad watched her dwindle down to bones. One day she lay in bed and turned a little bit and broke her collarbone. Her bones were so brittle. Just God just kind of started giving me a whole bunch of people that had a lot worse. You know what? I was riding Thursday night with one of the corporals of our sheriff's office, and he said, "Well, Chaplain," he said, "boy, you're doing a real good job of it." He said, I don't know. He said, "Well, God must know that he can trust you with it." Oh, man. Because he said he picked the perfect one for it. I don't want to hear that. Then come with Jesus. He delayed his coming, and meanwhile their brother died. And it was a law and the custom of that day that the sun could not go down or the person had died, you had to bury him before sundown. Jesus is not going to see his favorite Lazarus anymore. They're going to wrap him and entomb him. And Mary and Martha will never see their brother again. Boy, you talk about faded hopes, amen. You talk about nothing to look forward to. Then Jesus came. "Lazarus, come forth." Open that tomb up. "Hey, take them dead grave clothes off him." There he was. "Hello." Right? There's an old preacher preaching the service. And that old bishop gets a preaching away. And the deacon, he was in front dead in a casket. And the old bishop was preaching that funeral. I mean, he'd get with it. All but his sister, the old deacon's wife, got up and said, "Oh, Ralph! Oh, Ralph, come forth! Come forth!" And the preacher said, "Bless God, if he come forth, I'm going out that door. And someone said, there ain't a door back there. He said, there will be, amen. Why? Then Jesus came. Now here's the idea. The children of Israel at the time of Christ were so beaten down by the Roman government, so overwhelmed, and oh, how they're looking and hoping for this Messiah that would come in, who would become their national leader. They yearned for someone to take them out of the bondage and the power of the Roman authority. Oh, they prayed and cried to God, if only the Messiah would come. The prophet of old promised. One would come and rescue them from their plight. Like Moses. They're witnessing some awesome miracles. They saw this man from Galilee, Nazareth, who was healing the lame and giving eyes to the blind and even raising the dead and healing the lepers, casting out demons. And the authorities of that day were afraid to touch him. Never a man spoke like him before. He made sense when he talked about religion. He stood against false religion and called them snakes. He chased them vendors out of the temple and said, my Father's house is a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. And those people didn't mess with him. They had witnessed the resurrection of a man out of the tomb who had been dead for 4 days. He came forth and he's alive again. They are almost convinced that he is Messiah. They probably remember the exhortation of Zechariah 9:9, where he says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, upon a colt of the fold of an ass. Hello! It's in the Bible. John 12:12, and the next day much of the people came to the feast. And they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem and took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he was found, a young ass sat upon it and went, fear not, daughters of Zion. Behold, the King cometh on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the time. Why not? When I was growing up in a little farm in Hope, Michigan, I used to get in a lot of trouble. One day I was playing at my grandpa's farm, and they were still in Florida for the winter, and for some stupid reason, I went into the house, which was a big no-no. You didn't go in Grandma's house and Grandpa's house. And I found some great big kitchen matches. And outside, I found an old kerosene burner that we used to use to keep the water liquid during the wintertime for the pigs and the cows. I took those burners over to the gas barrel and filled them all the way to the top and put the cap on, then struck a match. And it was something like this. You know, I was so empty-minded while I was growing up, I wondered my head didn't fall in. I lit the burner right under a 250-gallon gas barrel. And as a fledgling arsonist, I did not take in consideration how hot gas burns and how high flame goes. It didn't take me long to find out that it'll go higher than a 250-gallon barrel of gas. Somehow my dad saw the fire and came flying across the field in his tractor. I wonder why he could see it. My goodness, it's infernal. And he came up there and he saw this tub and he threw over the top over and extended that gigantic, monstrous, gargantuan yellow flame and black smoke inferno. Many times I think of how my dad rescued me. That's all the Israelites wanted, someone to rescue them from the Roman government. All they wanted, that instant fix. That what the Israelites were looking for was to rid the Romans out of their land so they could rule themselves. They didn't want anything to do with Christianity. They didn't want to do nothing with religious problem. They wanted to be fixed. They wanted the government fixed. They thought if they can fix the government, that is all. That's all they wanted. They don't want God to tell them what to do. They want better goods at cheaper prices, less taxes, less control, more guns and ammo, and more recreation. You see where I'm going? When Jesus Christ came riding through the streets of Jerusalem, there was proof of Zechariah 9:9 said, "This will be he." 5 days later, they crucified him. Child of God, we are living in a world of filth and dismay. Mankind acts worse than wild beasts. Man does things right in his own eyes, and mankind has no shame. I don't understand it. Girls go out and get pregnant and brag about it and put on Facebook and take pictures of it, and they aren't even married. That is a shame! Why don't you say amen? And you teach your little daughter it's wrong to do. And you teach your boy it's wrong to do. Girl loses her virginity. Man loses his honor. Yes, it is. That's what the Bible says. Listen to me. What has happened to our churches? That's what's happened to our churches. Well, don't ruffle the feathers. Why don't you read the Bible? You don't like that. That means you don't like God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is wrong. I feel sorry for him. I'll do everything I can for him. But bless God. You guys ought to protect your daughter. You ought to be protecting them. Protect them by the vile that's out there, the evil. People cheat, steal, lie, do everything. People say, "Oh, that's okay, it's cool." Good Christian people, they think it's okay to drink a little bit now? Where did you find that in your Bible? What are you doing? What are we doing today? We're just dumbing down our Christianity? And Jesus Christ is not the God anymore. He's just our buddy. What happened to us? I said, "Preacher, I didn't come for that." Well, at least you got here for one. It's wrong. Straight out, flat out, it's wrong. Repent, and Jesus will forgive you. And go and sin no more. Somebody said, "Pastor, what happens? Well, you come before Heritage Baptist Church and you say, we have sinned. Will you forgive us?" I'll guarantee you, that's over. Let's get on with life. Some people just tiptoeing through the tulip season. "Oh, look at me. I'm so cute." No, you're not. You're not cute when that does that. That's sinful. And you're telling my kids in my church that it's okay to do that. Are you out of your mind? What did the Israelites want? They wanted a government. They didn't want a God.
Yeah.
They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want someone from heaven telling them what to do. That's why 5 days later they crucified him on the cross. Don't you kid yourself. When we are in all kinds of trouble and witness all kinds of troubles, and it seems that we're unable to bear it anymore, and you get to the point where you can't handle it anymore, listen to me, remember, then comes Jesus. Remember, praise the Lord. You live in a day at a day because one of these days, Jesus is coming. You will hear the shout of heaven, and you'll hear the great war trumpet will blow, and the Lord will shout, "Come up!" And He, our Lord and Lords, shall appear and shall be like Him and be ever with Him. Ah, my friends, let's read some good news. Then cometh Jesus. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we, I love this, hallelujah, you name it, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort. Hey, I just want to comfort you. Jesus is coming. Often I watch the clouds up in the sky. Always I heard they are many miles high. Then as they sail out of sight far away, I said, I'm going far higher someday. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Over the clouds and beyond the blue skies, going where none ever sickens or die. Loved ones await in the sweet by and by. I'm going higher someday. Often my soul has been lifted above, lost in the oceans of God's mighty love. Though I am higher than once, still I say, I'm going higher, yet higher someday. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Over the clouds and beyond the blue skies, going where none ever sickens or dies. Loved ones await in the sweet by and by. I'm going higher someday. Soon will the Savior appear. Bless His name. Someday this earth will be wrapped up in flame. Then as I see the fire mounting on high, I'm going higher beyond the blue sky. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. I'm going higher to stay. Over the clouds and beyond the blue skies, going where none ever sickens or die. Loved ones await in that sweet by and by. I'm going higher someday. Last night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I was singing that. About woke myself up, I think. I was singing about, you know, all the troubles and heartaches we have here. It's just going to be a blip in our radar screen. I'm going to tell you something. You need to take care of some things in your life today, amen? Because Jesus is coming. And He will find you. I hope He'll find you doing. I hope He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because that's what we want Him to hear. Don't we? Hey, live for God. Don't look for some pie-in-the-sky government that's going to take care of all your problems. They're finding out that this great thing that they're going to give us on health care is going to cost more people to police it than give it in the first place. Well, hello. But people are looking. Don't say they're stupid. They're looking to help people. They really are. Government's never been the answer. Then come with Jesus. He's your answer. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, why don't you ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart, forgive your sins, and live there. Maybe you're not living like you should, and you're pushing the envelope. You're acting like a fool. Why don't you come back to Jesus today? Father in heaven, I thank You for today. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for the promise of heaven. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're coming back soon. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you speak to our hearts, Lord, and may we be ready. Lord, may we not be like the foolish virgins who didn't have their lamps trimmed. Didn't have those lamps trimmed. Didn't have oil in their lamp. And that bridegroom cometh, and there's no time. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be ready every moment. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, I sure like to know that today. I'd sure like to know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me today. I'm not sure I'm saved. Right there where you're sitting, you can pray. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. And God said, I'll save you right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's instantaneously. I pray that today God speak to your heart. Would you do what he tells you to do? Then comes Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I ask everyone to stand to your feet. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know. I don't know if I have a hope of tomorrow. I'll tell you what, none of us have a hope of today. I have a hope of tomorrow. We know for sure if we die today, we go to heaven. Amen. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. You heard today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to take care of that today. Why don't you come? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you sure you're saved in your heart? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd sure like to know that. You know, Jesus is coming back real quick. Whew. Man, there it was. As plain as a writing on the wall. Here he came, riding on an ass, colt of an ass. It's what the scripture says. They got all excited for about 5 days. Won't you come to Christ? Here they say, Preacher, I've been saved. I haven't followed the Lord and believe his baptism. Why don't you come? Maybe your day and say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come?